Welcome to More on Christ. I am Pastor Glenn Moore, and we are all about encouragement in Christ, where it is all about Jesus. Well, good morning, Torrance New Life Church, and God bless you, Facebook friends and family. Today we're talking about that God grows my faith in the church. It's in the church where your faith is going to grow. A lot of times people say, well, why do I have to come to church all the time? We don't have to do anything, saints. Don't do anything you don't want to. But the Spirit of the Lord tells me I get to come to church. I get the privilege of coming to the house of the Lord. I get to serve Jesus. I get to come together with friends, brothers, and sisters that encourage my faith. They care for me. They love me. They encourage me. That's why the Bible talks about care for one another, love one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. And the church, well, the Lord fashions the church like a flock that has a shepherd, and he leads us to green pastures all the time. Oh, how wonderful it is to serve the Lord and be protected by the Lord. The church is kind of like a greenhouse, and the plants thrive in the greenhouse. The temperature is just perfect. In the environment of the church, we grow, we thrive. Our faith takes off and moves by leaps and bounds. Just like in the book of Acts, when the first church was birthed in the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit birthed the first church. And oh, we're getting to celebrate that just in a few short years, 2,000 years, the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ, and Jesus is coming back. Real soon, saints, oh, he's coming back. And one day soon, we're going to be on the other side. But we've got some work to do before then. So the church is like a flock, and it's a place where iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:17. Our faith grows inside God's glorious greenhouse, the place where signs, wonders, and miracles take place, saints. We get to come to church. We get the privilege. We get the opportunity because we're called out of darkness. God made that possible. And Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, he says, "Now I say to you that your name now is Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church." You and I get to be part of this church that he's still building. God grows our faith through the greenhouse of the church. A perfect environment for faith to thrive in. So faith, when your faith is connected to a church, it grows. My faith is nourished in the church. My faith is protected in the church. My faith is tested in prayer in the church. And my faith is challenged in spiritual warfare. It's the greenhouse. How wonderful. Well, you know, D.L. Moody had a great saying about church attendance, because people want to go, "Do I have to come every Sunday?" Well, my answer to that is I get to come every Sunday. I get to serve the Lord every Sunday. It's a privilege to be in God's wonderful house where the saints, where great saints come together that have answered prayer. I get to hear about their answers to prayer and how God did it. And those stories are the greatest stories of God's blessing upon our life. But D.L. Moody said this, "Church attendance is vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man." So just imagine a man being sick and he needs more blood. That new blood that comes in his body changes everything inside his body. When we receive the transfusion of the blood of Jesus into our life by hearing the testimonies of other people, it changes our life. It takes us up to another level. So don't miss a Sunday, because that might be when your miracle came by and you weren't there to get your miracle that day. So praise God. Ephesians chapter 4 is what we'll be looking at today. So the world is hopelessly confused and full of darkness. Now let's read. We'll do this a little bit backwards. We're going to go back further into Ephesians, but let's read in Ephesians 4 what the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, says about the world. And this was 2,000 years ago, not any different today. In fact, it's getting even darker now, full of sin. This is what it says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness." Now, that's something you have to think about as you look at the world, if you're not careful, you'll not notice the pot is getting hotter and you'll adjust to it. We have to look and say, that's not normal. That's darkness. That's evil coming over the land. It says they wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. So when Jesus comes into our life, the old sinful man has got to go. And Jesus sits on the throne of our heart. We get to have the privilege of Jesus living in our heart. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We're living in an exciting time, saints. Even though the world outside is changing, we are being changed too. Even though the outward man perished day by day, the inward man is growing stronger and more powerful. And we are getting ready for immortality, living forever with Jesus in incorruptible bodies, forever with our King, forever with our Savior. How exciting. The church is a tabernacle in the wilderness of sin. Now, let's look at that for a moment. Let's look at some things. Now, first of all, the church is full of light. The church is full of light. It's full of hope. It's full of redemption and power to save the lost soul. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He died on the cross, ending all animal sacrifice. And when we see and behold that cross, we see the price that was paid for your salvation and my salvation, the blood that was shed that our sins might be washed away, and that our eyes were opened up to the light of the world. Father, we thank you this morning that you did that for us, Father God, that you sent Jesus, you gave your only begotten Son. You so loved the world that whosoever believeth on you shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal, incredible life forevermore. How wonderful that is. So we realize the cost of our salvation when we look, when we come to church, we realize that I once was lost, but now I'm saved. That's where we hear the stories of amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Now we're going to talk about that wilderness of sin. There was a price paid for my sin debt by Jesus. God so loved us. Oh, how wonderful. And in the outer courtyards in the tabernacle in the wilderness, there was the brazen altar and then there was the laver. The laver exposed our sins so that we might be forgiven. Now, we don't practice sin any longer, that we dwell in the house of the Lord and God dwells in us. Jesus sits on the throne of our heart. We don't practice sin. We may sin, but we have an advocate and he gives us forgiveness. God gives us forgiveness. The church is made up of Christians who are givers. We give ourselves to God. We give ourselves to the Word of God. We give ourselves to prayer. We give ourselves to the fellowship of the saints. We give ourselves to the calling of God upon our lives. We're givers now that we have accepted the light of God into our life. And we live in the greenhouse of the church of God, where we grow and thrive. Now, what is this wilderness of sin? Let me describe it with Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5, verses 20 through 21. Now, watch what it says about the current condition of our world that we live in. This is exactly what it is, right out of the headlines of God's headlines. And here's what it says. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. You see, sin, once we are dominated by sin, our sin nature, the old sinful nature that we're born with, our hearts are hardened, but this is what sin does to us. Sin will take you further than you planned on going. Sin will keep you longer than you planned on staying. And sin will cost you more than you planned on paying. That's what sin does to our lives. America was so blessed. America kept this Bible in the schools for almost 200 years. And our country was blessed in many ways. We had a covenant with God. But God says, when I make a covenant with you, and when you break it, then I will do this. Well, God disallows what happens in our nation. So we removed the Bible from schools in 1962. And prayer from our schools. The sanctification was off. The blessing was off. And when things happen bad, people say, well, where is God? Exactly where we ask him to go. We can do this on our own. Well, we're not doing too good. We're not doing very good at all. Let me just describe to you what's happening in our sinful state. So we live in a wilderness of sin, but yet if you look around you, you go, well, everything looks pretty great. Oh, no, that's just the world. It doesn't look good spiritually. To God, it doesn't look good at all. In fact, here's what's happening in our nation right now. 12-step programs, because people are so addicted to all drugs and alcohol and sexuality. They're addicted. They can't break free of it. Abortions, almost 65 million children aborted in America over the past almost 45, 50 years. Atheism on the rise. There's nothing to offer an atheist. He has no faith. And the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He's not a very observant person. Oh, and we've created fantasy worlds that we can be lost in and yet deceived by those who are being deceived. Fantasy worlds like Harry Potter, fantasy world like vampires, fantasy worlds like Star Wars. All these things are things that will attract our attention in the last days. In the last days, we create these worlds. Oh, and divorce is at an all-time high. Sex trafficking, STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, serial killers, anti-authoritarian people everywhere, sin of pride, fullness of bread. Now, what is that? Fullness of bread means that there are 34% of the people in America that are obese. The most obese nation in the world is America. Fullness of bread, too much food, not helping the poor and the needy. The church always does that. It helps the poor. It helps the needy. Cheating people, lying to people. We have lying tongues in America now. Why, even before all of America, we'll take a stand and witness and lie about the other person. Woe unto that person that lies in front of all the world. Woe to that person. That's an abomination before God, and God will judge that lie. A proud look. Idols. People worship idols today. Astrology. Oh, the people read astrology to know which direction am I going in, not the right one. Communications with the dead, witchcraft, identity theft, cybercrime, bearing false witness against your neighbor, UFO and alien abduction. So many things to be lost in and deceived and distracted from the real door. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Luke 16:15 says this, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So what God see is right and pure. Men don't see it. Oh, men create these things that make them feel good and feel accepted, but they're not accepted to God. These are not acceptable to God. Oh, saints, when Jesus comes for his church, the only vote I have is today. And I vote Jesus, and I say, here I am, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I want to be one of your witnesses in all the world. Let them know that I love Jesus forevermore. Hallelujah. A.B. Simpson, who was the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination, comes from Canada. He lived 1843 to 1919. He said this about the church. Now, this is what he said. The chief danger of the church, and that was then, the chief danger of the church today is that it is trying to get on the same side as the world instead of turning the world upside down. Our master expects us to accomplish results, even if they bring opposition and conflict. Anything is better than compromise, apathy, and paralysis. God give to us an intense cry for the old-time power of the gospel and the Holy Ghost. So your faith, when it's connected to a local church, faith connected to a church where these people rush in, faith connected to the greenhouse of God where faith thrives and explodes and does great and mighty deeds for God, your faith will be encouraged by a local believer, local believers there. I'll come around and encourage you. Your faith has a place of expression in that church, how you serve, what you do for God in that church. Your faith grows by hearing the preached word of God. Faith groweth by the word, and the word cometh by preaching, by speaking. And my faith can move mountains, and my prayers, they can change things. Your prayers change things. When you hear everybody else saying, well, I prayed this, this happened, it'll do it for you. God will do it just for you. So when we come to the church, now the church is full of light and full of power to equip you with great faith and power. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Now let's look what God did for the church. The great apostle Paul pens it. This is what Paul says. Now these are the gifts Christ Jesus gave to the church. So he gives to his church gifts, and these are the gifts. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelist, and the pastors and teachers. That's what he gives. Why? Why does he give those? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Hallelujah, saints. That's what they're there for. Pastors and teachers are there to build us up, to strengthen us, to stretch our faith. Now, these gifts are from Christ. Their responsibility is to equip us. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. So we need knowledge and faith in God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Jesus Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed to and fro by winds of new teaching. We will not be influenced where people try to trick us with lies so that whatever happens, we just move with that wind. Those things won't happen. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Jesus Christ. We'll become more like him because we are equipped by pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets. Equipping requires discipline. We get to come to God's tabernacle in the wilderness. So when I first became a believer, what was interesting is I just couldn't get enough of Jesus. And I knew a lot. But now it was like my spiritual eyes were opened. The key unlocked my heart. I had a brand new heart. The old sinful nature was gone. But I had a brand new heart. And I had a hunger. What is he coming to do in my life? What does he want me to do? What does he want you to do, saints? He's building the church inside of you. What does he want you to do for him in these final days before we are raptured from this world? What does he plan for me? He has plans for you, plans for me. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have 30 days left on earth. He's got a plan. And the plan is magnificent. So when you step into his plan, life begins to move at an amazing way in Jesus. I get to go to church all the time. Well, what if I sin? What happens? Oh, I'm forgiven. All I have to do is confess. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? And I learned about that. What about tithing and missions? Well, I learned about that. And I'm blessed because I work and walk in that type of teaching. What are missionaries? And do they come to our church and speak? Yes, they do. What is persecution all about? And maybe, well, one day I go through persecution. You may. That's what is part of the church. What is prophecy? What is the rapture? When will it take place? Oh, all these questions. How do I witness? What's my style? And what about discipleship? Who will disciple me? How do I get answered prayers? These are all the questions that are answered in God's great church by God's great teachers and God's great preachers and the great saints that walk before us so that we can see their example. Oh, hallelujah, saints, it's great. When Dr. W.A. Criswell had the largest Southern Baptist church in America, in Dallas, he went up to the North Baptist Church in Chicago, and he met a very interesting man. He met a man named James L. Kraft, Kraft Foods. He brought him into his house, and he entertained him. And he learned something about James L. Kraft. He was the famous manufacturer and salesman of cheese in the world. He planned on becoming rich and famous by making and selling cheese. So he started at an early age, and he had this horse named Patty. And they worked real hard, and they took the cheese out. This was when he was in his early teenage years. And they went out, and they went places. They sold some cheese. But one day he said, we are not making any money. We're working hard, but not making any money. He talked to the horse, Patty. He says, Patty, we got it all wrong. James L. Kraft. He ended owning one of the largest manufacturing companies in the world, but serving in the church as a layman. Sunday school superintendent, watching out for the kids growing up so that they would hear the word of God. God's greenhouse where everybody thrives. And this is what he said. I would rather be a layman in the North Shore Baptist Church than to head the greatest corporation in America. My first job is serving Jesus. Saints, we get to serve Jesus in God's greenhouse, and we get to get raptured because we look forward to his return. Now, if you're not looking forward to his return, I want to say to you this morning, maybe it's time for a renewal and a refreshing. Maybe your heart has grown a little cold. Maybe it's gotten a little hard because of the world of sin that we live in. This wilderness of sin can have an impact on your life. That is why it's so important to get this word, to hide this word in your heart. We live in God's greenhouse inside the church. Oh, saints, listen to sermons over and over and over. Faith connected to a church, it grows. It encourages others to a higher level of growth. It grows my testimony. It reaches up to heaven. Faith connected to a church. It calls me to preach to other people. And it calls me to make disciples. So the decision today is, why should I attend church on a regular basis? Because God placed the church here. Jesus is still building his church. Matthew 16, 18. Upon this rock will I build my church. He's still building his church 2,000 years later. And he's coming back real soon for his bride. Oh, and we're going to be caught up the Father's house and celebrate the wedding feast of the Lamb of God for 7 years. But this world, this world of the wilderness of sin will be under the wrath of God. You see, God never rescued the church while it was under the wrath of men. But when the wrath of God comes upon the earth, God is going to rescue and pull his bride up. That's the five wise virgins. Five wise virgins who have oil in their lamps. That's intimacy, saints. That's loving Jesus. That's worshiping Jesus. That means I'm sold out to Jesus. I don't want anything to do with this world. So the decision today is, why should I attend church regularly? Well, your faith will grow by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Miracles of healing will take place, and that'll be the evidence of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence, you'll see it in the house of the Lord. Evidence of God's walking through there. The glory of God will rest in the house of the Lord. It's where people that are downtrodden and depressed, all of a sudden, they're in victory. Faith, you'll catch fire at the local church. Your fire, your faith will be reignited. You'll walk home and say, that can happen in my life. Then I want that. You'll give yourself to prayer. You'll give yourself to the word. You'll give yourself to the faithful people of God. You'll give yourselves. The life of a Christian is about being a giver. You'll worship the Lord with renewed enthusiasm. You'll bring souls to be saved. You'll bring souls to be discipled. You'll celebrate communion. You'll be excited about water baptisms and Holy Spirit baptisms. Hallelujah. We celebrate. So the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints in Hebrews 10:20. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. Especially now that the day of his return is drawing very near. That's Hebrews 10:25, written 2,000 years ago almost. Even then, they were looking. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. Maranatha, we now cry. This world gone too far into the wilderness of sin. But we are the light of this world. We are the salt and light of this world. So let us hold our Bibles high and not be ashamed of Jesus. Hallelujah. And come to church when these churches start opening up. Come back. My faith is powered up in the church. It is protected in the church. My faith is tested in prayer. Answered prayer gives me evidence of my faith because it grows in God's greenhouse. Hallelujah. That's what happens. So the church, God developed that your faith might explode inside. God is with you. And God wants to reach out and touch people everywhere, all over the world. But we are sent out of the church. Missionaries are sent out of the church. We get to support missionaries that go all around the world. So you can pray for those folks. You can support those folks. How great. You see, in the church. I'm a follower of Jesus. I obey him because I love him. I am committed to winning the lost. I am committed to feeding the hungry. I am committed to others outside of my own personal family. That's what happens when you become a Christian. God's family becomes your family because of the blood of Jesus. Now, we have earthly families because of the blood of our parents. But oh, when we accept Jesus, we enter into that spiritual family that will last forever and ever and ever, ever, eternal, by the blood of Jesus. And oh, saints, the best is yet to come. Something great is going to happen to your life because God is counting on you to reach those around you. And you have the greatest story of all times that Jesus came to this earth. He paid all my sins off. He washed them all away. And now I am dwelling forever in the house of the Lord with all the great saints. And my faith is thriving. Praise God. Father, we thank you this morning. And Father, I pray for anyone out there that has gone a little cold in their hearts, a little lukewarm. I pray, Father God, that you will touch them this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit and that they will hear, oh, it's a new day for me. I'm committing my life fresh and anew. Lord, I'm making a covenant with you, just like James L. Craft did. He says, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life, and I'd rather serve Jesus in his church than anything in this world. You'll be well compensated by Jesus. He'll bless your life amazingly. Father, bless everyone's life this morning. Anoint them, Lord, and draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you this wonderful Sunday and grow your faith wild and crazy. Take you on the greatest adventure ever. Amen.